Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Ask the Blood Detective. My name is Dr. Michael Wald, and for those of you new to the show, Blood Detective is a nickname I've earned over my last 27 years or so of clinical nutrition practice. I practice in Westchester, New York, in a beautiful little town called Mount Kisco, located about an hour north of New York City. Now, through the different Ask the Blood Detective shows, what I've tried to do is give you some information that takes you a bit deeper below the surface. And today's topic is literally deeper below the surface in terms of practical application of nutrition in a way you may never have thought of, namely transdermal nutrition. Now, I've done other shows on the use of oral nutrition, you know, vitamins, minerals, herbs, foods, of course, but I do not think even once I've alluded to one of the best kept secrets in nutrition, and that is the use of nutrition in different forms that are applied to the skin. Now, the skin, at a quick glance, looks pretty solid, meaning it's flexible, obviously, but it looks as though there are no holes in it. But actually, and very literally, the skin is porous. So the basic concept behind nutrition through the skin is that if you apply the right combinations and types of nutrition to the skin in the proper carrier molecules, for example, in the form of specifically designed and compounded creams, for example, one can take nutrition, whether magnesium, lipoic acid, vitamin C, various antioxidants, amino acids, directly through the skin. Now, why would you want to do something like this? And how does this transdermal nutrition process compare to eating foods and taking nutritional supplements by mouth? Well, that's a very good question, and we're going to be answering that and a whole bunch of other questions today so that you can decide whether or not the use of transdermal nutrition, either in addition to your daily nutrition efforts or in place of some of your nutrition efforts, is for you. When we take nutritional supplements, think about this. By mouth, they have to obviously pass through the mouth, and then they need to be processed through the liver before they make the way into the intestinal tract for absorption, mainly the small intestine. That is the place where virtually all of our nutrition is absorbed. There is some mineral absorption, it's thought, through the colon or the large intestine, but it is the small intestine that's particularly important for absorption. But when we eat nutrition, whether it's in the form of foods or nutritional supplements, that nutrition must pass through the liver for processing. And that's what we call first pass through the liver. And it's a fundamental part of the use of nutrition by mouth. I've said in prior shows that we are actually not what we eat. We are what we absorb from what we eat. But it doesn't end there. We are not only not what we eat, and we are not only not what we absorb from what we eat, but we must process the food too and process the nutritional supplements to activate them. I recently did a show, I believe it was last weekend, that reviewed the details of nutrient activation. My point in bringing up the fact that there are potential barriers to the proper intake, use, absorption, and activation of nutrients by mouth, that it really behooves us to think of other ways. I've had to think of other ways for my patients that, number one, simply could not or were not willing to take a large number of oral nutritional supplements given their health problems. So what do you do? Well, some people out there, you might be thinking, well, we just have to eat better. Well, for what it's worth, and I think you should know that philosophically speaking, my personal opinion is that we cannot get the ideal or optimal amounts of various nutrients that we might need for any number of health problems or for any health concerns that we want to prevent through diet alone. Now, whether you agree with me or not, namely that we don't have to choose simply foods for our health and well-being. We could also use nutritional supplements, but now we've got a third option, transdermal nutrition. So the skin, getting back to that for a moment, is porous, meaning it has holes in it. And in biology, we call the skin a semi-permeable membrane, which means the skin is selective and it lets certain things in it and certain things out of it. So we all probably know, those of you listening to this show probably have a clue, that we can certainly detoxify through our skin. The body can throw off toxins from the inside, what's known as endogenously, to the outside. But we also can put things on the skin, like nutritional substances, that can be absorbed inside, in the form, for example, of lotions or patches. And how it would work is, when I recommend topical nutrition for someone, I have them rub it on the skin in different places. So for example, before we talk about what's actually in transdermal nutrition and the fascinating process and the potential benefits of transdermal nutrition, let's first discuss when someone should think of using transdermal nutrition. Now, the most obvious reason, beyond not wanting to take a bunch of nutritional supplements or fixing the diet to such an extent that it's not only necessarily neurotic, but very, very difficult to continue to manage. In other words, if someone out there with an autoimmune condition or a form of cancer, for example, or malabsorption required, let's say, 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C, or 10 grams, which is the same as 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C, the body simply would not absorb all of that. Much of it would be wasted and thrown off into the urine and also through the stool. And what if those same individuals with these health problems had, let's say, a degenerative joint disease? Well, one could apply topical nutrition right over the joint. And if that topical nutrition, such as vitamin C, is packaged in such a way in the proper lotion, it could be taken through the skin, improving local circulation, removal of toxins, delivery of that nutrition. It can reduce inflammation. It can improve local immunity, reducing pain, reducing muscle spasm, reducing nerve pain. So you can see that topical nutrition certainly has application when you put it directly on the surface of the skin over the area of injury. Both acute injuries, which means relatively new injuries, and chronic injuries, those that have been around for a while, can and do respond to different types or different preparations of topical nutrition. So let's bring it back to problems with nutrition, or I should say problems with absorption, and why topical nutrition. Number one, if a person has a malabsorption disorder, I've talked in my show, Everything Digestive, that there are several different types of malabsorptive disorders. Most of you have heard of gluten intolerance or celiac disease, or what's known as non-celiac gluten intolerance, which is much more common than celiac disease, which basically means an individual does not handle gluten well, and that generally will affect the absorptive cells in the small intestine. So a person can eliminate gluten and they may feel much better. But all too often I find that the individual and the practitioners do not check for nutritional issues resulting from years of malabsorption, and they think that just by eliminating gluten, a person is better. My point, though, here is that gluten intolerance or celiac disease and non-celiac gluten intolerance are common forms of malabsorption. And it's also common that people with gluten intolerance have chronic skin issues. They may also have joint pain and or muscle aches. Topical nutrition can be applied right to those areas of those symptoms, giving relief, and is quite necessary because in the different types of gluten intolerance, it may take several months for the intestinal cells, the absorptive cells known as the intestinal villi, to come back and be able to perform their absorptive functions. So topical nutrition bypasses that problem. There are those that have bariatric surgery for weight loss and or resections of the intestinal tract for different reasons, either cancers or Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis or something called proctitis. Those last three conditions are the three major forms of inflammatory bowel diseases. And these problems affect absorption. But once again, we can bypass the intestinal tract to a large measure by applying topical nutrition, for example, over the belly, helping to heal the intestinal tract, or over any part of the skin surface to which a patient has symptoms. It seems to me as well that infants and babies, for example, and toddlers, they cannot take by mouth various nutritional supplements when they might have serious health problems. But you can apply topical nutrition to their bodies. And one of the key things about using topical nutrition properly is that it needs to be applied, again, to an obvious area of pain or injury, but also that when you use topical nutrition for general health, it's applied to a large surface area of the body. So it might be applied to the belly, it might be applied to the back, but any part of the body, even just the hands, and rubbing the hands together, rubbing them together, creating some heat, which increases circulation to the hands, will actually improve even further the absorption of transdermal nutrition into the bloodstream, and then to the various tissues in need of the nutrition. So whether we're talking about babies, toddlers, children who cannot take nutritional supplements, we can't even get them necessarily to improve their diet and eat some vegetables. Topical nutrition can help reduce the gap of nutritional deficiencies, but also nutritional insufficiencies. Remember, we may need added nutrition because we're just outright deficient, or we may need added nutrition in any form because we are insufficient. For example, your blood magnesium level may be normal, but if you have cardiovascular disease, for example, or anxiety or hypertension, you might want blood magnesium levels higher than normal, or at least on the upper end of the normal level in the blood. My point being that transdermal nutrition can close that gap of insufficiency or deficiency if the individual, such as you maybe, cannot or will not or couldn't practically improve your diet substantially or your nutritional supplement intake. Another benefit that I see with transdermal nutrition is for those on any forms of medications they take by mouth. Many medications taken orally, or what they call PO or peroral, have the potential of nutrient interactions, what we call drug-nutrient interactions. So if you take medication, and they are, of course, are managed in the digestive tract, at the same time as you take various nutritional supplements, there can be adverse or negative interactions. But if you take a medication orally, and most medications, the majority certainly are oral, and you take some of your nutrition transdermally, the transdermal nutrition will not meet up with the oral nutrition. So we can avoid many adverse drug interactions that way with transdermals. In fact, mainstream medicine has many medications that are topical. And I don't just mean topical medications used for skin problems, but medications like various painkillers, for example, that are delivered in either ointments or patches that do, in fact, increase the blood levels of those medications. So the whole concept of transdermally applied medication is the very same concept of transdermally applied nutrition. We, of course, never hear, or rarely hear, shows like the one I'm doing now, I've never heard anyone explore the hidden benefits and secrets of transdermal nutrition, probably because transdermal nutritional products are not patented like medications, so they're just not given the research and the development and pushed by mainstream physicians, or any forms of practitioners for that matter. I'm not aware of many practitioners in the holistic nutrition field or the integrated nutritional field that I practice in that have ever even considered transdermal nutrition. The closest that I've seen natural medicine get to the use of transdermal nutrition is the use of Epsom salts baths. So Epsom salt baths contain magnesium sulfate, a particularly biologically available form of magnesium. And what is so interesting about Epsom salts baths, which, as you know, have been around a very, very long time, hundreds of years. There are civilizations, obviously, that bathe themselves in the ocean, for example, which is a big Epsom salts bath. But there have been studies that have demonstrated in modern times that soaking in Epsom salts baths will increase and does increase the blood levels of magnesium. And by doing that, as many of you know who have ever tried Epsom salts baths, that Epsom salts baths are particularly calmative. One of the ways that they produce calming and reduce overall body stress and allow the what's known as the autonomic nervous system to reach a more parasympathetic or relaxed mode is because magnesium infiltrates the semi-permeable skin membrane. We just talked about that earlier in the show. And then the magnesium makes its way to various body tissues like the central and peripheral nervous systems. And magnesium is supposed to be the most abundant mineral in the nervous system, required to relax the nervous system. We also know that magnesium is a muscle relaxant if it reaches the tissues in need. One of the ways of reducing muscle spasm is with Epsom salts baths. Sometimes, though, certainly my patients I've seen require much higher levels of magnesium and other nutritional synergists that I would use in the form of a topical ointment, because the Epsom salt bath may not do the full job. But Epsom salts baths are an example of how nutrition, like the magnesium sulfate in the Epsom salt, makes its way from the bath, from the water, and dissolving itself through the skin, raising the blood levels, and hence reaching any variety of organs. And what's amazing, too, about the fact that magnesium sulfate can and is absorbed through the skin is that there are nearly 500 different physiologic enzymes in the body that depend on magnesium. Everything, again, as I've said, from nervous system function to digestion to neurotransmitters in the brain for all manner of thought, thinking, memory, mood, energy. The list goes on and on with magnesium. And when I use topical nutrients, I'll usually look at a person's blood work and I'll question them in detail using my blood detective questionnaires and get very clear on a person's current state of health or lack of health and their health goals. All of those factors and others, I believe, should be used when choosing the ingredients for not just transdermal nutrition, but for any food or dietary approach, and of course, for the use of any oral nutritional supplements. So the Epsom salts baths are an obvious example, proven scientifically, of how magnesium penetrates the skin. You know, when I was in chiropractic school, and also when I went through medical school, in physiology class, we were taught that, yes, the skin is a semi-permeable membrane, but other than water and sodium, some chloride and urea that may pass through the skin, nothing else much passes through the skin. Now, this just goes to show you how the information in these professional schools is extremely elementary in some areas, because certainly any doctor or seasoned natural healthcare provider in the field, you know, outside of school, does in fact learn, not just through experience, but it's just in the books, that any number of toxins, and now you're hearing any number of nutrients, can and do pass through the skin, either from the outside of the body into the body, or from the inside of the body to the outside of the body. Now, we also know that the skin is an immune organ, and the skin is also the largest organ of the body in terms of surface area, which is an amazing practical thing for the detoxification from the body. Having such a large surface area of the skin, lots of toxins can exit the body. And also, on the positive side, or the more positive side, I should say, various nutrients can pass into the body. So let's summarize a couple of things. We said that transdermal nutrition is nutrition that can go from the outside of the body into the body through the semi-permeable membrane of the skin. Who would need, or who should think about, transdermal nutrition in the form of a lotion or a patch, for example, would be those with various types of malabsorption disorders. We talked about gluten intolerances, but there's also pernicious anemia, which is a type of a B12 absorption. We know that B12 also can pass through the skin, and pernicious anemia is an autoimmune type of malabsorption. Very tough to manage without painful B12 shots or sublingual B12. But transdermal nutrition also very adequately raises levels of B12 in the blood. Those with bariatric surgery or other surgical procedures, for example, pancreatic cancer and or the inflammatory bowel diseases, these individuals can really benefit by bypassing the intestinal tract and putting nutrition right on the skin. For individuals who have muscle and joint and nerve symptoms, whether it's muscle spasms and or trigger or tender points or lack of circulation or nerve damage. These are just a few examples. Pain, both acute and chronic levels of all of those symptoms have the potential of benefiting from nutrition applied right to the tissue. So again, if you have chronic shoulder discomfort or arthritis in the shoulder, we can use glucosamine sulfate and magnesium along with DMSO, very effective anti-inflammatory reduction of inflammation, local effects with just the three combinations of those elements or those nutritional compounds. Any individuals that simply do not want to change their diet significantly or can't or haven't been as successful as they've needed to be, those that just can't even think of taking another nutritional supplement could benefit because that transdermal nutrition bypasses what's called first pass liver. It does not even go in the mouth. Transdermal nutrition could go anywhere on the body. If you have local skin conditions, well, that's an obvious example of the potential benefit of transdermal nutrition. Even dermatologists have prescription levels of certain forms of activated vitamin A and vitamin D that are used for everything from eczema, psoriasis, to a type of skin lymphoma called mycosis fungoides. There are many dozens of skin conditions, melanomas, basal cells, squamous cell carcinoma of the skin that can benefit, and studies have shown do benefit from topically applied nutrition. But again, many serious health problems beyond those located on the skin and those located in organs of the body can and do respond to the right combinations of topical nutrition. So let's talk about some specific examples of nutrients. Now, I've mentioned magnesium sulfate, and I've mentioned antioxidants, vitamin C. So let's go over those again, but let me add some other very, very important types of nutrients that can and do pass through the skin. So this topical delivery, just so you know, is also known as cutaneous delivery. Cutaneous referring to the skin. And without getting too into the biology and physiology of the skin surface, it should suffice to know that the skin has several layers. And these layers can and do allow nutrients to get deeper and deeper and also make their way to the microcirculation and into the lymphatic channels of the skin so that they can reach the various areas of the body in need. So another nutrient is lipoic acid. So lipoic acid is a very popular nutrient in the B vitamin family. You probably know it as alpha lipoic acid. And you certainly also know about a vitamin E. The topical application of both lipoic acid and vitamin E are absorbed cutaneously or transdermally through the skin by simply rubbing it on the skin. But, and this is important, although there are some cases where you could open a bottle of lipoic acid, open the capsule, mix it with some sort of a cream, and rub that on the skin, that actually might work. Generally speaking, for therapeutic doses and reliable absorption of nutrition through the skin surface, the nutrients must be dissolved within a specifically formulated, what they call, carrier. So, for example, and practically speaking, if you wanted to increase your blood levels of lipoic acid and vitamin E, if you mix them in DMSO, otherwise known as dimethyl sulfoxide, you can get that transdermal nutrition into your bloodstream. Now, DMSO, for those of you who don't know, is a very, very effective agent for taking things from the skin surface into the body. But it's so effective that when you use it, you have to make sure that the skin surface that you apply it to is very clean. Now, I have to give a bit of a disclaimer at this point. None of you should necessarily be trying transdermal nutrition on your own, and particularly DMSO. But if you do try DMSO, what I would do is I'd take about a dime-sized form of DMSO and place it on the skin and then wait an hour. If you have any itching or redness at all at that area, you cannot use DMSO. And about, I would say, 20 to 30 cannot tolerate DMSO. But it's one of these agents that you can mix other nutrients into to take it through the skin. And DMSO has also been studied for all sorts of neuromusculoskeletal injuries, everything from arthritis, from wear and tear osteoarthritis to rheumatoid arthritis to any sort of pains and neuropathies. DMSO, very strong anti-inflammatory, and it's actually a natural industrial solvent. There are studies showing that DMSO is an anti-cancer agent and a powerful antioxidant. It's sometimes provided intravenously by natural healthcare providers. We can do weeks and weeks of shows on just DMSO. That's how well studied it is. But it's not the only carrier that can and should be used. So when I determine the ratios and types of nutrition that would be contained in a particular person or patient of mine's topical nutrition, they may best, that formulation might be best mixed with DMSO, or it might best be mixed with olive oil, or it might best be mixed with DHA oil. There are many different types of carriers. And other ones, they're not very easily obtained. They have to be formulated for me by a compounding pharmacist. So let me review that again. The types of nutritional supplements that we may need for given individual's particular health needs may need to be dissolved in the proper carrier. There are many forms of carriers, nutritional carriers, so that transdermal nutrition works. So you get nutrition from the outside of the skin to the inside of the skin. DMSO is one example of a carrier. Olive oil is another. Medium chain triglycerides, I did not mention, or MCTs is yet another. And DHA oil. You've heard of EPA DHA or fish oil. Well, the DHA component I found is particularly good as a carrier with neurologic issues for certain nutrients that help the nervous system. So we were talking about lipoic acid. Now, lipoic acid is both a water-soluble and a fat-soluble antioxidant. And this is particularly important because lipoic acid is therefore required and needed in tissues in the body that are fatty or that have a cell membrane. You know, every cell has a membrane around it, and those membranes are fatty, and they require fat-soluble nutrients. Lipoic acid is one of those required in every cell of the body. It helps maintain the integrity of that cell membrane. Being an antioxidant, it reduces what's known as oxidative stress of cells. Whether the cells make up a liver, or the cells make up a thyroid gland, or the cells make up a skin tissue, you name it. Lipoic acid is universally important, but it's also, as I said, a water-soluble nutrient. So that means, it, as nature has designed our wonderful bodies and physiology, is that we must need lipoic acid in the water-soluble compartments of our bodies. And that is very, very true. So given that lipoic acid is such an important nutrient, it is always part of any transdermal preparation that I have produced for any of my patients. And what's interesting is that the Journal of Pharmacology Science had done a stability study of what is known as the cutaneous delivery, the transdermal nutrient delivery through the skin of lipoic acid and vitamin E. And guess what, folks? The stuff works. It doesn't just get through the skin, but there are certain laboratory tests. And you know, as the blood detective, I'm big on laboratory tests. I'm big on laboratory tests that teach me something that I do not feel that I can just guess at. Now, this particular study on lipoic acid and vitamin E, they had assessed several laboratory tests. One of them is called a T-BARS assay, which basically is an antioxidant activity assay. And they found that the use of vitamin E and lipoic acid reduced dramatically by about 39%. That's huge. The T-BARS level. So therefore, a high T-BARS level is evidence of oxidative degeneration in the body in general. And two simple nutrients applied to the skin in a special preparation, namely lipoic acid and vitamin E, it was the alpha tocopherol form of vitamin E in particular, dramatically reduced the T-BARS level. Now, the higher the T-BARS level, generally speaking, the higher or increased risk of overall morbidity and mortality from anything, meaning quality of life and length of life does seem to be correlated with the T-BARS level. Now, again, as the self-proclaimed blood detective, what I've done is I've put together a long list of thorough, what are called biomarker tests, which are tests that give us a very strong indication and accurate predictive value of one's morbidity and mortality. And I attempt to improve upon them. So T-BARS level, that's high, I'd need to bring down. A vitamin D level, another biomarker that might be low, we want to bring it up. Now let's talk about vitamin D3 for a moment. Now, nature has already designed us such that we produce vitamin D in the skin by exposure to sunlight. And what happens is there are certain wavelengths of UV light that hit the skin. And within the skin surface, cholesterol is converted or turned into vitamin D. And then either the liver or the kidneys or the lungs, those are the three main organs that take vitamin D and activate it into its active form, or vitamin D3. So this is very important, but because of sunscreens and because of ozone depletion, we cannot, and very rarely could, improve our vitamin D levels to a point of normalcy with just sun exposure. In fact, if we tried, we might be increasing our cancer risk greater than the probability of our bodies producing enough vitamin D from sun exposure. So several years back, the reason why you and most physicians and healthcare providers are so hot on vitamin D and every health area that there is because there was a study on Floridians done years ago where they were exposed to many hours of the sun. And their levels of vitamin D could not be increased, and they were in fact low. So a good amount of the population has low levels of vitamin D. But vitamin D, being a fat-soluble nutrient, mixed within a fatty type of carrier molecule, can and is absorbed through the skin. Now, depending on how much vitamin D you might need, transdermal nutrition could be just the thing for you if you want to take one less supplement. Plus, the body physiologically likes vitamin D in the skin. That's the way it works. Now, vitamin D blood levels are between 30 and 100. Now, a common error that I see among healthcare providers, some healthcare providers, is that if the vitamin D level is let's say 31 or even up to 40 or 50, they will generally say the vitamin D level is good. But it's not, because a study called a meta-analysis, which is a study of all of the appropriately performed and properly performed non-bias vitamin D studies, show that the optimal vitamin D level is between 70 and 100. In other words, the higher normal the vitamin D level, the lower one's overall morbidity and mortality risk. Now, I bring this up because many people that I see take 5,000 units of vitamin D, 10,000, even 50,000, 100,000 a week, and they cannot seem to improve upon their vitamin D levels in their blood reliably, I should say. This is where transdermal nutrition comes in. Also, there are other techniques for improving the absorption of transdermal nutrition. So, for example, if you rub your hands together, as I mentioned earlier, increasing blood flow, a lymphatic flow, to the skin surface, and rub the topical nutrition in your hands, that will have it be absorbed much greater than if you just put it on the skin surface. Also, any form of transdermal nutrition that I recommend, I make sure that the person does not take a bath or a shower or get the skin wet within about a half an hour after they apply the topical nutrition to the skin. You, of course, would not want to put on any other lotions at the same time that and at the same location that you applied the topical nutrition. What is also amazing, to move along here, is that coenzyme Q10, you've heard of CoQ10 or ubiquinol. It's called ubiquinol because it's ubiquitous. CoQ10 is required in virtually every area of the body, every cell that has a mitochondria. A mitochondria is an organelle, a tiny little organ of cells that produce energy. And CoQ10 is not particularly easy to absorb orally, and even more difficult to absorb if a person has any one of those absorptive difficulties that I mentioned earlier. And those that I mentioned earlier were just a tiny number of various malabsorption issues that frequently go undiagnosed. I am astounded at the level of malabsorption disorder that I see that people have been suffering from for several years to even decades of their lives, and did not know that they had malabsorption. Many of these individuals had even seen gastroenterologists, but the gastroenterologists seemingly are thrown off and are not thinking about some of these malabsorption issues because the person with them might have a non-gastrointestinal problem that resulted from the malabsorptive issue in the gut. So, for example, if you go to a gastroenterologist with, let's say, neuropathy or nerve pain, they would send you to a neurologist, which they should, except you might have that nerve pain because you have pernicious anemia, which is a gastrointestinal problem of B12 malabsorption, which will and can cause neuropathy. A person, for example, may have fertility issues because of malabsorption of any number of nutrients that lead to infertility. But a gastroenterologist does not treat infertility. If a person has migraines, they might have malabsorption of magnesium or certain amino acids, which make neurotransmitters. And if they're not absorbed well, then the person might have migraines. But once again, a gastroenterologist does not treat migraines. And unless you have gut issues along with your migraines, the gastroenterologist will not be attuned to that connection. And the list goes on and on and on. So I make it a habit of checking most of those people who see me for any number of malabsorption issues. And oftentimes, topical nutrition is the easiest and most convenient way to go. I'll also use topical nutrition and apply it to patches on the skin. So that way, the transdermal nutrition can be absorbed slowly and steadily throughout the skin. And again, to remind you, you can apply a skin patch of topical nutrition or an ointment of topical nutrition to any skin surface. And depending on the carrier that's used, which depends upon what is the purpose of the transdermal nutrition. Does someone, let's say, have inflammation in the intestinal tract where we want anti-inflammatory nutrition taken through the abdomen to reach that? I would then choose a different carrier to dissolve those nutrients. So getting back to coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinone, and I use a form of CoQ10 called ubiquinol, which is approximately 8 times more potent than the so-called regular CoQ10 available. We use that for transdermal application. And CoQ10, as you probably know, is useful for, I really can't think of an area of the body that doesn't require it. So certainly nerve problems, cardiovascular problems, slow metabolism that may result from a hypoadrenalism or lower weak adrenals or lower weak autonomic nervous system function, and certainly low thyroid function. Now, one thing I have not mentioned is that the number of times that topical nutrition would be used for an individual will depend on a number of things. How much of the nutrition in the transdermal person requires is obviously the first consideration, or at least at the top of the list, and also the size and weight of the individual. So I'll perform a bioimpedance analysis, which is a fancy term for a body composition test. And that test will let me know the metabolic rate of an individual. And the metabolic rate is a fundamental number that, if known, can help idealize nutrition. And you probably really know this already. Think about it. If you are a runner, let's say you have a higher metabolic rate, you might require more nutrition. And the nutrition needs to match your exercise efforts and also every other activity of your life with what is called the activities of daily living. So there's a certain metabolic rate and energy requirement in terms of kilocalories or calories that a person requires just living. And then there is the additional nutritional and caloric energy requirements that someone needs depending on their health problems and their health goals and how quickly they want to get there. So there's a number of factors that go into determining the dosing, okay, folks, the dosing of the transdermal nutrition. I personally have cut my long list of nutrients virtually in half and replaced them with topically applied nutrition. Now, as a triathlete and as someone who lifts weights and runs marathons, the use of topical nutrition for me is particularly good because it handles a lot of my acute neuromusculoskeletal injuries, and it helps me make up for my added nutritional needs given my high level of athleticism. Not to mention being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at age 18. So transdermal nutrition for me is very convenient. Plus, quite honestly, with my busy schedule, and I know many of you know what I'm talking about, it is sometimes not very easy or convenient to take a handful of pills in the middle of the day. So a common scenario is I figure out someone's nutritional needs, and there are some of those needs that are met with foods, and then given the person's individual health concerns and goals and problems, a certain amount of their nutritional need is then made up for with the properly designed and balanced nutritional supplements, and that list can be reduced dramatically by the addition of topical nutrition. Because anything that you use, whether it's topical nutrition, dietary, oral supplements, that is most convenient for you is clearly something that obviously you can continue to repeat. Because the thing about nutrition is, and healing, is healing rarely occurs overnight. Medications tend to cause more rapid management of symptoms, but nutrition may take a bit longer. So that means, at least in my life, nutrition has to be doable. And transdermal nutrition, I just put a patch on in the morning or rub it in my skin in the morning and rub it in my skin at night and I'm done. Now, for neurologic problems, whether it's multiple sclerosis or nerve pain, which I've mentioned a lot, neuropathies, maybe diabetic neuropathy, cardiovascular issues, Lou Gehrig's disease or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, anything neurological, stroke, And the list again goes on and on. The use of topically applied CoQ10 mixed with vitamin E and alpha lipoic acid are exactly what the doctor ordered. Now, I'm not allowed to say during these shows that topical nutrition is a replacement, or any form of nutritional supplementation, by the way, is a replacement for, you know, a healthy diet, or it may not be considered, meaning topical nutrition, a replacement for or the primary treatment in medicine for any health problem. So that's the disclaimer I have to give you. We all know how that goes. Nutrition is just not highly regarded in traditional medical circles by and large. But all of the shows that I do, and the shows that many of the other well-rounded experts on this station do, are often based on evidence-based science proof that nutrition can and does help any number of health problems. Now, one of the questions I commonly get is, how someone can make and can someone effectively make topical nutrition on their own? Well, it's a real shot in the dark, because when you put together preparation, it should be fairly standardized. You need to know what's in it. It needs to match your needs. It might be applied to specific skin surfaces. It might be provided in context with certain dietary and oral supplement changes. So I don't advise that you start experimenting with your own topical nutrition. But if you were to do that, the one type of oil that is particularly good for helping some forms of nutrition get through the skin is olive oil. So that is what is known as a penetration enhancer. Into which you might add various nutrients. Now, some nutrients, as I mentioned earlier, are absorbed in the form of a bath, the Epsom salts with the magnesium sulfate. You know, there was a very interesting study done by the School of Biosciences in Birmingham. And what they did is they took blood and urine samples after a two-hour bath, and they repeated the bath after seven consecutive days. And there were some other details of the study, but the point is that the magnesium levels in the blood, which are normally very, very tightly controlled, did increase in all 19, there were 19 subjects, as I recall. All but three showed a rise in the magnesium concentrations in the blood. That is an amazing thing. Now, by the way, my point of bringing this up is that magnesium sulfate is very well absorbed through water in the form of the Epsom salts bath. Lipoic acid might be better when mixed with olive oil or DHA oil, depending on the health problem. Now, magnesium sulfate, the sulfate is something we should talk about for a moment. Sulfate is required for detoxification in the body. There's something known as the sulfation pathway. It's a very real detoxification pathway. And what that pathway does, it's also called phase two detox, by the way. So sulfation is a detox pathway that requires sulfate, which increases the detoxification through what's called phase two detox in the body. Now, the body has to mobilize toxins for health, right? Of course. Now, there are fat-soluble toxins. That means toxins that are stored in fatty tissues. And there are toxins that are water-soluble. Now, the water-soluble toxins, they do not stay in the body very long. And they are excreted in the body through the urine or through the breath, by and large, and through the stool. But the fat-soluble toxins are not so easy to get rid of. So they require proper sulfation or phase two detox pathways to work. So the phase two pathway of sulfation takes fat-soluble toxins and combines them with sulfate. It conjugates them, which is a fancy term for it sticks them together. And that creates a water-soluble compound that the body can then excrete. So it is amazing that we can obtain sulfate from a bath. Now listen, This is a perfect example of something that is misunderstood often. I've just explained how an Epsom salt bath can allow for magnesium sulfate to enter the skin. And then I explained how sulfate helps phase two, or the conjugation pathway in the body, which turns fat-soluble toxins into water-soluble toxins so we can get rid of them. But depending on the state of your health and what toxins you're talking about, not every toxin is removed from the body by making it water-soluble with sulfate. Also, the concentration of the Epsom salt would need to change given your particular needs. So my point is, just because there is sulfate in the Epsom salt bath does not mean that you will absorb and will properly improve your sulfation pathway. So it's very misleading, and it's a generalization, it's a dangerous one, I recognize, to give the impression that you're going to improve your detoxification. Detox is some generalized process. Detox is not a generalized process. The word detoxification may be, but there are many types of detox pathways, and different toxins go through these pathways. So for example, chlorophyll does not affect any of the known detox pathways in either the liver or the intestinal tract. But what chlorophyll can do, being a fiber, is it can bind to some toxins in the intestinal tract and bring them out, but it's not improving sulfation conjugation. So depending on your particular health issues and your particular toxin concerns, is it mercury toxicity? Is it lead toxicity? Is it arsenic? Or is it something from a bacteria? So for example, bacteria in the body, infections produce endotoxins and they need to be detoxified. The list goes, again, goes on and on. The proper topical and the proper, the proper topical transdermal formulation, we need to consider all that. And or if you're using Epsom salts, not everything you just throw in a bath will get absorbed through the skin. The forms of those nutrients need to be adjusted, the dose for the individual, the length of time in the bath. But Epsom salts baths will not solve every transdermal nutrition problem. Far from it. But the topical application right on the skin in the form of various ointments, that clearly has been well studied and shown to provide the greatest number of nutrients through the skin by applying them to the skin with the right carrier. Let's talk about another nutrient called ellagic acid, or EA for short. Now, this particular nutrient is a phytochemical. Ellagic acid is a plant-derived substance, so it's found in a large variety of fruit. All sorts of fruits, I was saying, such as strawberries and raspberries and blackberries, walnuts, for example, very high in this particular acid. And it has been studied for dermal delivery, which is amazing because this particular acid has anti-cancer properties. It has strong anti-inflammatory properties. So what I've done is I will combine a variety of plant phytonutrients, including ellagic acid. And this gives the potential of increasing the antioxidant potential in the body. And the thing about antioxidants is that they reduce oxidation. And oxidation, although it can be a positive process, is most often, I think most would agree, a bad process causing degeneration. So the use of plant nutrients is critical, in my opinion, for both oral nutritional supplementation in the form of foods and also through the skin to help guarantee good delivery. I have a mixture of products which are superfoods, which I call Detox 1, Detox 2, spelled DTOX, by the way, Detox, DTOX, Detox 3 and 4. And they're different colors, so green, purple, red, orange. You've heard about these. Many of you take similar things. And I formulated these, and I will combine them with proper carriers and use them on the skin surface. For children who refuse to eat fruits and vegetables. This is at least something. But the fact that these very complex plant molecules can be taken through the skin is, to me, absolutely fascinating. So for local skin problems like skin cancers, ellagic acid has been studied. It has not been studied as a topical, by the way. It's been studied as an oral. But, you know, logic would have it that if a nutrient, for example, whatever nutrient we're talking about, has been studied orally to work in a certain way, it might also work transdermally, particularly since oral nutrition has to go, as you've said, through the intestinal tract and the liver to finally get to the cells, tissues, and organs in need. So the whole concept of transdermal nutrition is a very exciting area of healthcare. So let's pull some of this together. So when we talk about transdermal nutrition, we're talking about the delivery of nutrients through the skin. And that can help any variety of injury or pain, sports-related injuries, for example, and for kids, for older individuals, for people with malabsorption problems. And the nutrition on the skin is generally delivered rather quickly. Also, we can use gels, various emulsions, creams, sprays, even lip balm applications. And with more and more people having digestive problems, malabsorptive disorders, the use of oral nutrition is very limited for them. So with transdermal nutrition, we're bypassing the stomach and the liver with a much greater percentage of the active ingredient of the nutrient going straight into the bloodstream where it's needed, with no gastrointestinal side effects, no upset, no drowsiness, usually extremely well tolerated. And the fact that the skin has such a large surface area, we're talking about rapid effects, rapid absorption of transdermal nutrition. Transdermal nutrition is not only important for general health and well-being to our organs and organ systems, but for acute musculoskeletal injuries, which plague a lot of individuals. Transdermal magnesium in particular offers a very, very exciting breakthrough in pain management. And besides simply putting transdermal nutrition on the skin in a particular carrier, whether it's olive oil, DHA oil, flaxseed oil, we can rub the skin with our hands, getting it warm, increasing the circulation, which will enhance the absorption through the skin. We can apply heat to the skin, either as dry heat or wet heat. That form of physiologic change in the skin will allow more transdermal nutrition to penetrate. Infrared therapy, low temperature saunas, all can enhance the delivery of transdermal nutrition. And finally, the use of massage and or sonogram or ultrasound. Ultrasound used by physical therapists and chiropractors, for example, ultrasound helps to push medications and various supplements, nutrients through the skin. So these are just some of the ways that transdermal nutrition can work, depending on the need of the person. So whether we're talking about the use of topical nutrition to protect the health of the skin, either to use as an adjunctive treatment or for the prevention of skin problems and cancers, to reduce skin inflammation, aging of the skin, to improve what's known as ATP or energy production in the skin to produce healthier looking skin, or to help remove toxic metals, or to increase the immunity of the skin. You know, the skin is an immune organ. And then all of the different types of health issues that tend to plague us in modern society, the autoimmune conditions, diabetes, cancer, arthritic conditions, the autoimmune disorders. Commonly, it's difficult for a person to take large amounts of supplements, so hence transdermal nutrition. So that's going to end it today for transdermal nutrition. I hope that you gain some greater insight into this and you'll start thinking about it. Now, the next show, I'd like to discuss how to put your nutritional supplement plan together for those of you who take vitamins and minerals by mouth. How do you prioritize what you should take? How do you combine them? Are you just taking an amount that you heard on a radio show or in a magazine, or are you following the instructions on the bottle? How do you take your supplements and make them work for you? So we're going to talk about nutritional synergistic combinations and how to figure them out for you once and for all. And the benefit there would be to get more out of your nutritional supplementation by taking fewer nutritional supplements, which obviously makes it easier and reduces the expense and increases the probability of you getting the effects you want from your nutrition because of all these added benefits, making it easier over the course of your lifetime. So please join me, Dr. Michael Wald, as we talk about how to figure out your nutritional needs, how to balance your nutritional supplements on the next show. For those of you who would like to work with me, you can feel free to call me at my office at 914-242-8844. I'm the Director of Nutrition at Integrated Nutrition of Mount Kisco. My email is info@blooddetective.com. And my website is www.integratednutritionny.com. Thank you again for joining me, and have a wonderful day.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late.